Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, half an hour of Scottish culture and history with great music from Scotland's new and established artists. I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening. Our opening music today comes from popular Scottish folk band Capper Cayley. If you haven't discovered their amazing music yet, don't wait any longer. Look them up at cappercayley.co.uk to get started. That's CapperCayley, Capper Cayley. .co.uk. On this episode, a look at the sport of curling in our series Exploring Sport in Scotland. Simply Scottish is available on iTunes, the Celtic Radio Network, select radio stations, and at simplyscottish.com. Join our listener community online and get new episode updates, a chance to win music in our monthly giveaway, plus Scottish news, photos, trivia, and more. Connect with us at facebook.com/simplyscottish, twitter.com/simplyscottish, or the Scottish social network kiltr.com, kiltr.com/simplyscottish. I look forward to hearing from you. Simply Scottish is sponsored in part by Scottish Memories magazine. Scotland's premier nostalgia magazine is chock full of in-depth articles, reader recollections, an events guide, and travel information. Subscribe to the magazine in physical or digital format at www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. First, some music with Fiona McKenzie. From the Green Tracks album Archipelago, this is Eriske Lovelilt.
Bear me, O Lord.
Like a number of sports, the origins of curling are up for some debate. After all, who can say which person was the first to enjoy skimming stones across frozen water? Because of the conditions needed, it seems a sure bet that it originated in a northern European country. Wherever it began, few will dispute the fact that the pastime developed into a modern sport in Scotland. The first evidence of such a game in Scotland was uncovered when an old pond was drained in Dunblane. Two curling stones were found bearing the years 1511 and 1551. Written evidence from 1540 records what seems to be a legal dispute that was settled on the ice between John Sclater, a monk in Paisley Abbey, and Gavin Hamilton, a representative of the abbot. The word curling appears in the work of Scottish poet and historian Henry Adamson. In his most notable poem about the death of a young merchant friend, written in 1620, it reads, "James Gall was much given to pastime, as golf, archery, curling, and jovial company." Some years later, an entry in the Glasgow Assembly records details of a local bishop, Graham of Orkney, being accused by his Assembly of Presbyterians of a terrible act. He was a curler on the ice on the Sabbath. Curling was enjoyed informally on Scotland's frozen ponds during the 17th and 18th centuries, and is documented in the literature of the time. In 1773, Scottish poet James Graham gives one of the first formal descriptions of the game. "The steady youth, who leads the game, low o'er the weighty stone he bends incumbent, and with nicest eye surveys the further goal, and in his mind measures the distance. Careful to bestow just force enough, then, balanced in his hand, he flings it on direct. It glides along, hoarse murmuring, while plying hard before, full many a besom sweeps away the snow, or icicle, that might obstruct its course." In Scottish poet Alan Ramsay's verse, we get a sense of the excitement of the sport. "From ice, with pleasure, he can brush the snow, and run rejoicing with his curling throw." The games would often continue until the daylight ran out, as Robert Burns reminds us in his 1786 poem, Vision. "The sun had closed the winter day, the curlers quit their roaring play." Indeed, due to the distinct sound of the granite curling stones travelling over the ice, curling is also known as the roaring game. The world's first curling club was organised in Kilsyth, Scotland, in 1716, also home to the oldest purpose-built curling pond. Other clubs began springing up in Scotland and around the world as Scots exported the game of curling wherever they settled, including Canada, the United States, Sweden, Switzerland, Norway, and New Zealand. In 1838, the Grand Caledonian Curling Club was established in Edinburgh, and the first rules of curling were drawn up. Queen Victoria was given a demonstration of curling in 1842 at Scone Palace, and was so fascinated by the game, she gave permission for the Grand Club to change its name to the Royal Caledonian Curling Club. By this time, the game was gaining momentum as a popular winter sport around the world. So, how do you play the game? And how did it become an Olympic sport? More on curling in a few minutes. First, here's music from fiddler Ruthie Dornfield. From her album Duets Abroad, this is Curling Waltz. Thank you. You're listening to Simply Scottish. Although curling is a game of skill and strategy, hence the nickname Chess on Ice, it boils down to one simple rule. Get your stone closest to the target. The modern game is played on a sheet of ice approximately 15 feet wide and 150 feet long, with targets located at each end. In each of 10 sessions, or ends, in a game, two teams of four players each throw a total of 8 stones. After each stone is thrown, players sweep its path to guide it and allow smooth movement. Rapid sweeping can cause a stone to curl, or turn, less and travel further. The winner of each end is the team with a stone in the target zone, or house, that is closest to the centre, or the button. Teams earn points for each stone closer to the button than the nearest one of an opponent's. The last throw is called the hammer, and is often used to knock out other stones. In the late 19th century, various curling competitions were held in Europe and North America. Curling had its Olympic debut at the 1924 Olympic Winter Games in Chamonix, although it would be 2006 before the International Olympic Committee ruled that it was part of the official Olympic program in 1924 and not a demonstration event. Curling appeared again as a demonstration sport at the 1932 Games, and again after a lengthy absence in 1988 and 1992. Between these years, Scotland and Canada launched the Scotch Cup, pitting the two countries' national men's teams together. Other countries were soon added, including the USA, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, France, and Germany. In 1968, the Scotch Cup became the World Curling Championship, later becoming two events, the Junior Championships and the Men's and Women's Championships. In the early 1980s, the World Curling Federation, long a part of the Royal Caledonian Curling Club, was declared an independent entity, with headquarters in Perth, Scotland. Curling was permanently added to the Olympics program as a men's and women's event for the 1998 Nagano Games. Today, its popularity continues to grow as a global sport, having recently debuted in Asia and at the Paralympic Winter Games. 10 miles off the Ayrshire coast of Scotland lies a small volcanic island called Ailsa Craig. 240 acres of solid granite rising out of the Firth of Clyde, it's home to Europe's biggest gannet colony and a significant number of puffins. It's also the place where most curling stones are made. A company on the mainland, called Kays of Scotland, manufactures the Olympic and Federation stones. It mines three types of granite on Ailsa Craig: common green, blue hone, and red hone. It's considered the toughest granite in the world, making it ideal for curling. Until recently, the island had actually been up for sale. Now, a nature conservation trust looks set to purchase the island and secure the future of the bird population there for years to come. To watch an interesting video showing how the granite gets from island to ice, visit simplyscottish.com and click on episodes. There you'll see links to further resources on the web for this show and others, as well as a detailed music playlist. That's at our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Back to music now. This is Elaine Meyer singing the traditional Scottish folk tune Tiree Love Song from her album Promised Land.
Come away, my love.
This is Simply Scottish. Today we're discussing the sport of curling as part of our series on sport in Scotland. To hear other episodes in this series, go to simplyscottish.com and click on episodes. Perhaps nowhere outside Scotland is curling more widely played than in Canada. The Royal Montreal Curling Club is the oldest curling club in North America, established in 1807 by a group of Scottish-Canadian immigrants in Montreal. They used the St. Lawrence River as their rink and utilized cast iron or even wood curling stones until granite stones became available. The club in Montreal also built one of the first closed curling rinks in Canada. Soon, clubs began popping up all over the country throughout the first half of the 19th century, almost all of them formed by Scots and featuring names like the Heather Club, the Thistles, Caledonians, and Granites. As Gerald Redmond puts it in his book The Sporting Scots of 19th Century Canada, wherever there were Scotsmen, in fact, the sport of curling was likely to emerge. It was natural that Scots should be the first and most serious ambassadors for their sports outside Scotland. Today, curling enjoys an unprecedented popularity thanks to television coverage of the Winter Olympics. This began in earnest at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, BC, in 2010, when curling was presented to the world in a memorable way. During those games, curling events were watched by an average of 22 million people and became the third most watched sport globally of the Olympics. This trend continues at the 2014 Winter Olympic Games in Sochi, Russia. Here, Great Britain's curling teams are led by Scottish curlers Eve Muirhead and David Murdoch. Kate Caithness is a Scottish curler. She's also the first female president of the World Curling Federation, making her the first female president of a Winter Olympic sport. Caithness began curling in the 1980s at the Royal Caledonian Curling Club. She promoted wheelchair curling, and her efforts helped make it a Paralympic sport in 2006. She serves on the Olympic Programme Commission, which reviews sports and events for both Summer and Winter Olympics. And in 2013, she received an OBE by Queen Elizabeth II for her services to curling and international disability sport. For links to online resources related to curling, visit the episodes page of simplyscottish.com. You'll also find the names of the songs played on the show. That's at www.simplyscottish.com. At the end of the day, curling is a social sport that brings people together for fun and fellowship. And the spirit of curling dictates that everyone plays fair. Indeed, the saying goes that a true curler would rather lose than win unfairly. We'll end with the curler's grace, a traditional prayer in Scots and English. It's fairly easy to understand, and when you hear the Scots word soup, S-O-O-P, it means sweep. O Lord, whose love surrounds us all, and brings us all together, who writes your laws upon our hearts, and bids us help each other. We bless thee for thy bounties great, for meat and hame and gear. We thank thee, Lord, for snow and ice, but still we ask for mair. Gie us a heart today what's richt, like curlers true and keen, to be good friends along life's road, and soup our slide aye clean. O power aboon whose bounty free our needs and wants suffices, we render thanks for barley bree and meat that appetizes. Be thou our skip throughout life's game, and syne we're sure to win. Though slow the shot and wide the aim, we'll soup each other in. That's all for this episode. For more, visit our website, simplyscottish.com. If you enjoyed the music on the show, enter our monthly music giveaway to win a Scottish album of your choice from a catalogue of over 4,000, courtesy of musicscotland.com. You can enter via Facebook or at simplyscottish.com. We'll conclude with music from Jim Malcolm. From the album Acquaintance, this is the Robert Burns favourite, A Fond Kiss. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again next time for more of All Things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
A fond kiss and then we sever. A fair wheel and then forever. Deep in heart drunk tears I'll pledge thee. Warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee. Who shall say that fortune grieves him, while the star of hope she leaves him? Me dark despair around denies me. I'll ne'er blame my partial fancy. Nothing could resist kiss, and then we sever.